It's Mark and Pete.
Hello and welcome to the show. More spooky, colourful conversations with Mark and Pete. Yes, this is the show dedicated to religion, politics, and business. On this week's show, we debate
horrible histories.
Yes, that's right, folks. It's that ghoulish time of the year when people dress up in peculiar costumes. And what is it that seems to allow people to get into this strange mood about seeing the macabre as being fascinating and interesting? Why is it that we're so keen on understanding about evil spirits? Well, with me today is Clergyman Pete, and he looks terribly scary today, dressed in black. What's going on, Pete? Why is it that we're so fascinated with macabre?
Yes. Oh, well, this is just my clergy shirt, which is not in the slightest bit macabre, despite the fact that I conduct funerals in it. It's strange that we have this fascination with the macabre. Just a brief anecdote, just to set it up from my point of view. When I was what a wee lad and taking a shortcut home after school on dark nights, there was a way home that could go through the graveyard of St. Peter's Church. And I remember going through the graveyard of St. Peter's Church, and just as I was heading over the stile to go through, the people I was with hadn't come with me. I said, "What's the matter?" And they would not go through for fear of something attacking them. And I said something to the effect, "But this is the safest place. All the people here are dead." And obviously they were scared of ghosts. And I wasn't, and I don't understand it. So, and in the same way, I personally don't understand the fascination with horror. I'm fascinated that people are fascinated with it, and it's an interesting cultural trope that that has lasted a long time, but I don't understand what's going on.
Well, is it just simply the fear of the unknown? So taking your story there, which is quite insightful, is that maybe perhaps some of your school friends possibly had some bad experiences. Maybe they had been spooked at some point. Mm. Maybe they were on their own. Maybe they did actually see something. Yeah. I know that for some reason that I know that, let's say, for example, entertainment, movies, they exploit this quite considerably. Now, if you look, for example, on consumer spending just in Halloween alone in the US, there's a staggering amount of money that's spent. That's nearly $7 billion is expected to be spent around this sort of time. That's a lot of money. Mm. Now, that can include everything from merchandising to suites to events and all these sorts of things. So people go for it in a very big way. And, of course, if you're a pumpkin seller, then definitely this is your time of the year. Now, I must say that I've never been fascinated with it myself, but I am sort of also worried what sort of effect it's having on us culturally and socially. Is it a good thing, though, that we're actually fascinated with things that are of horror nature? What's this sort of doing to our children, do you think? Mm. It's simply by dressing up with fangs and things that are ghoulish.
Mm. Well, In one way, at a surface level, simply dressing up and having a bit of fun isn't doing any harm. But when you actually see how horrific, and my opinion is that they seem to be getting more horrific, the outfits that are available, more realistic, and the creepy clowns, which we did an episode of Mark and Pete on recently. They can get masks portraying them. You can even get masks of Donald Trump, which is, of course, really
horrific.
That's
scary.
Yeah. At least I've not seen one of Hillary Clinton, which would really give me the shivers. But, you know, there were really horrific things. Now, what is it doing to our children? Well, I think that the images are scary, and images can have an effect on us. And it may be that it is this sort of thing that creates a fear that there are these unknown evil things out to get you. When, yes, of course, they're not real, and there are plenty of real terrors in the world without creating more. So I think it's making people too fearful of something that they don't need to be scared of.
Well, now I'm going to cast your mind back to when we were at school. Mm. And history lessons are valuable. They do help you to learn about the good and the bad. But what I can say is that as we sort of set up the scene at the beginning of this show, history is full of horrors. Now, strangely enough, a recent TV program called Horrible Histories seems to be playing more on the horrors of things that have happened in the past. Now, here's a little poem which I've written. It's called Horrible History. Floella the flea lived happily, flitting about from you to me. She lived in mats and other habitats, but felt more at home on large cowpats. The flying flea flew far and free and spread disease with much glee. Though Floella knew when one day she blew how mysteriously she caught the flu. A flea with flu, oh, what a to-do! For as she fretted, the crisis grew. Floella did sneeze and hit the breeze, whizzing around the blossom trees. With a head full of cold and great pain untold, her bugged movements became uncontrolled. The flea flew flat and then went splat, and she fell upon a fleeing rat. The rat called Craig looked shocked and vague. Then he began to scuttle and spread the plague. As the flea did flee, Float died in mystery, and Floella was consigned to horrible history.
So that was really horrible for poor old Floella.
Exactly. I mean, when we think about history and we think about things like the plague, it's what a horrible situation to be in. And yet it's strange that TV programs such as Horrible Histories that make fun out of things such as that are sort of plagued mankind and caused such death. And yet why is it that we seem to exploit it in this way? I mean, surely is that a good thing for children to learn about history? Maybe it is, and maybe it actually gets over the message better than it did in the past.
Well, you see, I think that there is a side to horror which is entertaining, in the same way as the costumes that you have for Halloween, for going out trick-or-treating, can be really horrific. But there can also be a fun side to it. You can portray it in a fun way. And in the same way, horror films, by being very over-the-top, in their portrayal of horror, can be scary in the moment, but not really scary long term. You know, if they're so over the top that it's not realistic, I can understand that. In fact, many critics of horror films who like the horror films and they criticise them and that they discuss the good things about them. When they talk about those good things, they say it's very similar to humour, to a comedy. There are certain punchlines that you build up to. It's just, it's the same, but the opposite, in the same way as a comedy and a tragedy in a play is very similar. You know, in plays, traditional plays like Shakespearean plays, you would say, but what's the difference between a comedy and a tragedy? Well, you set up the great problem, and at the end of the tragedy, everybody dies, but at the end of the comedy, everyone laughs at that point. You know, it's all resolved. So, but the build-up to it is the same. And in horror films or comedy, you have the same sort of rhythm to it, and the building up of the tension and the problem that has to be solved, but there's a different outcome at the end. But that outcome has, in a way, the same sort of effect on you. And the critics will say that, this shows that horror films, you know, are acting in a similar way to humour, and they're actually life-affirming, and people come out feeling better having dealt with their horrors. In the same way as a comedy can deal with something horrific and make you laugh, here you experience the horror, but that's in a safe situation, and you come out having had it dealt with. I'm not sure how convinced I am by that. I'm just saying that that's an argument that's used in favour of horror, similar to how tragedies worked in the days of Shakespeare, and I suppose melodramas in Victorian times.
Well, taking that point, let's go back a step in terms of, particularly in Britain, maybe there is a source there of influence, because the Victorians were fascinated with the afterlife. Many groups and societies used to hold vigils and have things called Ouija boards, where they would try and connect with the people, the spirits, who perhaps were in another world. Now, I guess in many ways, some people still remember the influence of those periods. Now, is that something that perhaps we've just built upon today? Perhaps people may not use the Ouija board as much as they did in the Victorian period, because perhaps commercialism has taken over. And I'll come on to that point a little bit later. But maybe the fact that we could actually look to the Victorians and perhaps blame them for some of the fascination with this this idea of that there is an afterlife. What do you think from a religious point of view? How does that sort of play into maybe what you would advise people to say, and where there is guidance and being entertaining and perhaps not taking it too seriously?
Well, there's two sides to this. One is that if you're overplaying the horror of death, etc., etc., you know, and talking about the afterlife, but making fun of the idea of ghouls and ghosts, making fun of them, great. They're not real, so I'm quite happy for them to be made fun of. You know, in the same way as if you end up cheapening, you know, Christmas, the true story of Christmas, people stop believing in it, really, and that's a problem for what I'm trying to teach. This is to the advantage of what I'm trying to teach, in that people are laughing at it. But the problem comes when people take it in earnest, and also when that's their only source of information. For example, if you were to believe what we're taught in horror movies about what happens after death, your ghost goes off somewhere, the spirit that's you goes somewhere. It could go to heaven, it could go to hell, or if there's unfinished business, it can wander the earth in a vain search to end the its quest to have whatever the unfinished business was, maybe to seek forgiveness, but maybe revenge, whatever it is, depending on how horrific the story is. So you've got these ghosts that wander around after death. Now, that isn't Christian belief, so it's just confusing. And, of course, Christian belief, based on evidence, based on the scriptures, is the truth. We're talking about trying to get people to see what's really going to happen after death. And so when there's just a confusion because of the way movies treat this, it is a problem, especially when I'm counselling someone in the build-up to a funeral, for example. It can be very difficult. Now, I find that there is an interest in life after death, and this is held up to me as a sort of a trophy saying, look, vicar, I do believe in something. You'll be pleased with this. I believe in, you know, ghosts wandering around or that sort of thing. And no, I'm not pleased with that. That doesn't please me, because that's just not true, however much you want to believe it. So my main problem with it is when it becomes confusing, and when people are learning about what's going to happen to them when they die, learning about the afterlife from Hollywood movies. It's not good. It's not good for any sort of research project, I would say, trusting in what you're taught in mainstream Hollywood movies. I would say try and read around the subject a bit.
Now, let's bring things up to date in terms of understanding the history of something. And this is not necessarily the horrible part. This is actually perhaps a little bit more of a fascinating part. Why do we carve pumpkins? Well, many people will probably turn to various sources, but one of the theories is that the carving of pumpkins originates from the Samhain festival, when Gauls would carve turnips to ward off spirits and stop fairies from settling in houses. And I'm sure that this is something that you do on a regular basis.
Oh, yes.
However, the theory explains that the Americanized name of Jack O'Lantern came from the folkloric story of Stingy Jack, who fooled the devil into buying him a drink. He was not let into heaven or hell, and when he died, the devil threw him a burning ember, which he kept in a turnip. Now, in the influx of Irish immigrants in the 1840s into North America, they couldn't find any turnips to carve. So, as was the tradition, so they turned to something which was pretty much similar, which again they turned to a pumpkin. So hence, come the 1920s, pumpkin carving was widespread, and that's probably why we now see it today. So I'm going to ask you a question now, which is about pumpkins.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
I'm going to say to you that I'm going to pick a well-known retailer. I'm going to actually name the retailer, which is Tesco's, one of the largest retail outlets, particularly in the United Kingdom and one or two other places elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So how many pumpkins do you think Tesco's expects to sell during a Halloween period?
This is based on recent years,
this year, how many does it expect?
Oh, does it expect? You did say that. Yeah, this year. This year. Right. I would say, let's say 2 million. I haven't finished yet. 2,322,102.
You're about 700,000. It's 3 million.
Oh,
that's a lot of pumpkins, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot.
One final question.
Okay,
which is the weight of the world's heaviest pumpkin?
Oh, okay. Wait. I'm going to say, it's going to be 2 stone.
28 pounds. Well, I'm going to ask you in kilograms. Give it me in kilograms.
Well, you just simply take what I've done. Oh, no. Okay, in kilograms, I'm going to say, 20 kilograms.
Nowhere near.
30.
Nowhere near.
40.
Nowhere near. No.
50.
No.
100.
Nowhere near. No. It's considerably heavier. I can't believe how heavy it is.
that is a lot heavier. It's 1 megaton.
It's 1,054 kilograms.
Oh, okay.
That is one huge pumpkin. Well, there we go.
Has it been carved? Has it got a jack-o'-lantern smile on it?
I'm not entirely sure, but that would have made a lot of soup, I can assure you. Anyway, listeners, we made light, perhaps, of this little subject, but what do you think about the horrors of Halloween, and perhaps even dwelling on those things that are in the afterlife? So why not drop us a line on markandpete.com and let us know your thoughts? Perhaps we'll hear from the other side. Spooky. So join us again next time for more colourful conversations with Mark and Pete.